Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise on this Christmas day that we're able to gather and worship you. We pray now that you would meet with us. We pray that in these moments together we might feel your presence. We might rejoice anew in the birth of the babe of the Bethlehem manger, not only in that manger 2,000 years ago, but in our hearts today. Have your way now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Worship folder is a Christmas Day litany. And also in front of you on the screens. Join with us now as we read together responsibly. As Christmas comes around again, Lord, we're tempted to say we've heard all this before. We know the story by heart.
Forgive us and remind us of the difference between knowing the and letting it speak to us again and again.
Help us to see ourselves and our attitudes in those in the original Christmas story. The innkeeper did not have room for you.
Help us to stop cluttering our lives with things that crowd you out.
Others missed the glory of the story. The shepherds saw it even while they work the graveyard shift at your lowly job.
May we see you and give you glory in our daily work, no matter how mundane it may seem to us. May every day be an opportunity to serve you and others.
The wise men journeyed hundreds of miles to find you.
Teach us that those who really seek will find. Give us grace to daily search for you and your will in our lives.
They brought you gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
May we in love, adoration, and worship give to you those things that are precious to us.
Show us that we are not all that different from King Herod.
Christ of Calvary's cross in the faces of those we encounter day by day. May we show your unconditional love and grace to everyone, that they might see the true meaning of Christmas in our words and deeds every day of the year.
Amen. Glory be to the Father, Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We appreciate all of those who did come out last night. We had a good service together, had a wonderful time of fellowship, had 48 people here, and that was exciting. And those of you that had other obligations, that's certainly understandable. But I just wanted to let you know you missed it. Anyway, Merry Christmas. We're so glad that you're here today. We're excited about all that God has ahead for us. Let me say, too, that we really appreciate all the work that Jonathan put into all of the decorations in the sanctuary and throughout the church. Didn't he do a great job? Thank you, Jonathan. Looks beautiful. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, on this very last Sunday of 2016, on this Christmas Sunday, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Thank you. Oh my, okay. We'll certainly remember her. Any others? All of those that are traveling. Any others? As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, on this Christmas Sunday, 2016, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you for loving us enough to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to be born in a manger, to grow and live among us, to suffer in all points as we do, to die on Calvary's cross, and to rise again. Lord, we remember that, especially at this season of the year, there are those who have trouble rejoicing. There are those grieving the loss of loved ones. There are those going through physical issues, those perhaps facing their last few days themselves, or those facing the coming loss of a loved one. There are those in hospitals. There are those in rehab, those in assisted living and nursing homes and hospice. People who we need to remember with our visits, with our prayers, with our gifts. There are people today, Lord, who are going through the ravages of war. People who have been burned out of their homes. They've lost everything. There are people today who are going through difficulties with finances, with jobs, with relationships. We think of this as a happy time of family reunions, but there are many families who are not reunited. We pray that your Spirit would move among them. We pray that your Spirit would move among us, that we might be the ambassadors of your love and joy and peace, that we might be there for those who are hungry and homeless and hurting and helpless and hopeless. Oh Lord, remind each one of us of the blessed hope that we have because of Christmas, because of Calvary, because of your promise of eternity for all your children. We pray today that you'd be with our troops around the globe who are separated from family and friends and loved ones. Comfort and strengthen their hearts. Be with their families, Lord, as they go through this time of absence. May they feel the overwhelming joy that you promised that first Christmas Eve so long ago. We pray that you would be with our great nation. Be with our leaders, Lord. Those who are finishing terms and those who are getting ready to begin terms, we pray that you would guide them, direct them, fill them with your Spirit, Lord, that they might indeed be Spirit-led leaders of our nation and of our world. We pray that in this brand new year that's just around the corner, that your blessings would be upon Rockwood United Methodist Church as we seek to do the work that you have called us to do. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings that you've poured out on your people here down through the years. Thank you for all that lies ahead. Thank you for 2016 and for seeing us through the valleys, the mountaintops, situations and crises, for watching over us. Use us now to your honor and glory. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you gave. We pray now that in the midst of our abundance, that you would bless our gifts, that you would bless the givers, that you would bless the ones unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before we sing, let me share something with you about the song that we are prepared to sing. I don't know if you've ever had times when things didn't go exactly like you expected. Last night we had a beautiful service. There were a couple little glitches along the way. Let me share with you about another Christmas Eve service. Only by happy coincidence did the names of the true authors of the song Silent Night come to light 36 years after they wrote it. The story began in 1818 in a little church in the Austrian town of Oberndorf. Shortly before Christmas Eve, a mouse ate a hole in the leather bellows of the church organ, effectively silencing it. The itinerant organ mender was not due in town for months, and music was needed for the Christmas Eve service. In 3.5 hours, Franz Gruber, the organist, composed music for a poem written by Joseph Moore, a priest. It began, Still Nacht, Heilige Nacht, Silent Night, Holy Night. On Christmas Eve, the two men sang their composition, accompanied by a guitar and a children's chorus. They were a great success. The following May, when the organ mender turned up, Gruber gave him a copy of the song, which the man then circulated in his travels. By 1831, 13 years later, the Strasser family quartet was billing Silent Night, one of their numbers, as a Tyrolean folk song by authors unknown. Time went by, and soon the now popular song was being attributed to several famous composers. In 1854, the leader of the King's Orchestra in Berlin wrote to the choir director of the Benedictine School in Salzburg, asking for a copy of Silent Night by Michael Haydn, the brother of the more famous composer, Franz Joseph Haydn. The choir director asked a student, who just happened to be Felix Gruber, Franz Gruber's son, to find a copy. And now you know the rest of the story.
Please join us.
Silent night, holy night.
remain standing, if you would, please, for the reading of the gospel.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. Because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. A woman was Christmas shopping with her two small children. Doesn't that bring back memories? After many hours of looking at row after row of toys and everything else imaginable, and after hearing both of the children asking for everything they saw, she finally made it to the elevator with two children in tow. She was feeling just what many of us feel during the Christmas season. Overwhelmed by pressure to go to every party, every housewarming, taste all of the holiday food and treats, getting the perfect gift for every single person on our shopping list, making sure that we send Christmas cards to everybody that sent a card to us last year. It was exhausting. Finally, the elevator doors opened to reveal that the elevator was already crowded. So, she grabbed her two children and all the bags and she pushed her way into the elevator. As the doors closed, without thinking, she blurted out, "Whoever started this Christmas thing ought to be shot." From the back of the elevator car, a quiet voice responded, "Don't worry, we already crucified him." For the rest of the trip on the elevator, there was a stunned silence. A psychologist said that the perfect way to get through Christmas is to put our minds in neutral and go wherever we are shoved. The Christmas rush, the hectic pace, the heavy traffic, the long lines of frayed nerves, the bills, the deadlines, the pressures, they all combine to cause some people to give up and to give in and just drift through the season. They put their minds in neutral and they go wherever they are shoved. My friends, Christmas is not a time for us to just endure. It's a time that we can enjoy, that we can celebrate, that we can learn from. We can share the joy of Christmas with others. Christmas has so much to teach us. There's a Christmas song from back in 1946. The lyrics go, "Everybody pauses and stares at me. These two teeth are gone, as you can see. I don't know just who to blame for this catastrophe, but my one wish on Christmas Eve is as plain as it can be. It seems so long since I could say, Sister Susie sitting on a thistle. Gosh, oh gee, how happy I would be if only I could whistle. All I want for Christmas is my..." Some of you have been around since 46, huh? "My two front teeth, see my two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth and I could wish you a Merry Christmas." Now, where in the world is a preacher going with that for a sermon? Well, that last stanza there, the chorus. "All I want for Christmas is..." Let me ask you, what is it that you truly want for Christmas? As a child, there were a few things that I really wanted for Christmas. I mean, like, to die for wanted. Occasionally, I received them. More often than not, they weren't under the tree. But you know, now, as I look back, I really can't remember what most of them were. And it really doesn't matter now if they were under the tree or not. But let me ask you, what are the things that really stir your soul? If you could have one wish for Christmas, $1 million? Well, chances are if you put it in the bank, you wouldn't get any interest off it, and the bank would probably fail, and guess what? If you hid it in your house, somebody would break in, or your house could burn down like so many did a month ago. Or if your family found out you had $1 million, guess what? Hi, Uncle George! I'm your favorite nephew, remember me? By the way, I was wondering if, and either you'd lose a lot of friends and family or all your money would be gone. Well, if I just had a nice house. Did you see the foundations of some of those houses that are no longer there in Sevier County? Well, if I just had a decent family. They come and go too. There's so many things we might want to ask for that in all likelihood could be so very temporary. But this morning, let me put one before you. One of the Christmas gifts, if we could have anything in the world that we wanted, if we were to be brutally honest about it, if we were to give some time thinking and reflecting on it, maybe one of the things that would come up would be having hope. You notice this morning we talked about those who were hungry and homeless and helpless and hurting. Now, all of those are severe and are critical. But that last one was hopeless. Charles Allen, years ago, he was a Methodist preacher. I heard him preach at Grace Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Methodist preacher, he later went to Dallas, Texas. He's written a number of books. Charles L. Allen, if you get a chance to read them, do. But in one of his sermons, he said the real profanity of humankind is not in the words that we use that we shouldn't. He said that just shows ignorance, shows a limited vocabulary. He said the real profanity of humankind is when we use the word hopeless. Do you realize what a condemnation that is on a person or a situation to say it's hopeless? Let's go back in time. Let's go back and take a look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the New Testament. And then in the Old Testament, let's take a look at Isaiah, the prophet. They can teach us a lot about hope on this Christmas Sunday. Isaiah had lived through tough times. The people of Israel were under attack, and they'd gotten away from God, and Isaiah knew that they needed a Savior. That was their only hope. He also knew they needed a prophet to call them back to faith and give them hope. He saw the need. He heard the call, and he responded, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Isaiah was a symbol of faith and hope. We see it even more dramatically in Mary. When we see Mary portrayed in Christmas pageants, she looks so serene and she looks so lovely. The whole idea appears very simple. But consider what Mary went through. The whispering behind her back, the pointed fingers, the false accusations, the raised eyebrows, the questions, the gossip, the criticism, family pressures, crude jokes, cruel laughter, and the poverty of it all. Not even to mention the difficult journey to Bethlehem for a woman who was 9 months pregnant, riding on the back of a donkey when she shouldn't have been going anywhere except to the nearest hospital, if they'd had one. And then when you add to all of that, giving birth in a stable, no doctor, no midwife, no medicine, no epidural, nothing but faith and hope in God. She wasn't just a teenage girl from a poor family in an obscure village in a tiny nation which was itself under the rule of a despised foreign power. Add to all of that the fact that one day an angel came to her with a message from God and said, "Don't be afraid, Mary, you found favor with God. You'll have a baby and you shall call him Jesus. He will be the Messiah, the Savior of the world." Now, if it had been us in that position, would we have believed it? I don't know. But Mary was willing to hear God and to obey God's will and to entrust her future into God's hands, even though it put her in a difficult situation, to say the least. How would she explain this? How would she convince her parents? Mom and Dad, if you had a 13-year-old girl come in and tell you she was pregnant, and she says, "But it's not what you think." you get the idea. How would she tell Joseph, her fiancé? What would the neighbors say? Her response to that angel was a model of faith and hope. Like Isaiah before her, she said, "Here am I, the Lord's servant." In Mary and in Isaiah, we see hope. Let me share three quick reasons with you why Mary and Isaiah had hope. First of all, they had hope because they heard God's voice. They were tuned into God. They were listening with ears of faith and thus were able to hear God's message and respond. God speaks to us today, but very few of us are tuned in. We get caught up in the hectic pace of living and we stop listening. Have you ever noticed so often in life? You ever lived beside a railroad track or known somebody that did? And a train comes by and it shakes the whole house. And if you're visiting there, you just hang on and say, "Oh my goodness, what's going on?" People that have lived there for any length of time say, what are you talking about? I don't hear nothing. We do the same thing with children, don't we? Now, in case you haven't noticed, children do the same thing with us too. It's called selective perceptivity with our children. You could be talking to them face to face and you could tell them, "I don't want you to ever do that again." 5 minutes later, when it happens, say, "Didn't you hear what I told you?" "I didn't hear you say that." On the other hand, Catherine and I, we'll be in the opposite end of the house from the children, and we'll be whispering to each other. And from way down the hallway, "We heard that," because they were listening. The same thing with you and me and with God. They heard God's voice. Today there are so many words and voices in our noisy world that we pull back into a shell and we stumble through life. We don't want our world to be disturbed by new ideas, so we tune out. We will not listen. We do not hear. Back in 1870, there was a church conference in Indiana. It was on the campus of a local college there. The president of the college was addressing that group, that gathering of Methodists, and he said, "We're living in an exciting age. We're going to see things happen in our own lifetimes that are unbelievable." The presiding bishop there that day was a bishop by the name of Bishop Wright, and he was intrigued by the college president's remarks, and he asked, he says, "What do you think we will see?" The president of the college said, "Well, one thing," he said, "I believe that one day soon we will see people be able to fly through the air like birds." The bishop said, "That is heresy. The Bible says that flight is reserved for the angels." When the conference was over, the bishop went home to his wife and his two small sons, Orville and Wilbur Wright. You've heard those names before, haven't you? Kitty Hawk, North Carolina? Yeah. But, you see, the bishop was tuned out. He wasn't listening to what was going on. On the other hand, think about this one. A large family gathers at Christmas time for a family reunion. Maybe many of your families did or will. Within that family is a small baby. In the midst of the celebrating, the baby goes to sleep and is placed in a bassinet in the back bedroom. The travel and excitement have worn her out. The family has dinner and then exchanges gifts. Later, some people are talking and laughing and visiting while others play games, and some are singing carols, and still others are watching football on television. In the midst of all of the noise and the Christmas confusion, the mother of the baby slips out of the room. She heard the baby cry. No one else heard the baby, but she did, because she was tuned in. She was listening for her baby. That was her number one priority. In the same way, Mary was tuned in to hear God. Here are some Christmas questions that we might answer. Can we hear the baby? Above all the Christmas chaos, can we hear God? Is that a priority for us? Or have we closed the voice of God out of our hearts and lives? Mary's hope and Isaiah's hope were great, first of all, because they heard God's voice. Secondly, Mary and Isaiah had hope because they obeyed God's will. In the New Testament, the word for faith means believing obedience. Believing God so much that we're willing to commit to God, body, mind, and soul, to doing God's will, whatever may come. In a Peanuts comic strip by Charles Schulz a while back, Linus was talking to Charlie Brown. Linus said, "I've compiled the stats on our team for the season. In 12 games, we almost scored a run. In 9 games, the other team almost didn't score before the first out. In right field, Lucy almost caught 3 balls. And once, almost made the right play. We led the entire league in almost." You know, that's the way a lot of us are when it comes to obeying God's will. We lead the league in almost. We almost obey God's will, but not quite. A number of years ago, the great missionary David Livingstone was serving in Africa. He sent an appeal to England for more workers to come and help him on his mission work there on the continent. An answer came back sometime later from England. It said, "We would like to send more workers to help you, but first we must ask, is there a good road to the outpost?" David Livingstone wrote back these words, "If you're offering to send workers who will come only if the road is easy, I cannot use them. Tell them to stay home." Mary's hope and Isaiah's hope were not tentative or conditional. In both cases, there was total and complete obedience to God, no matter how rough. Bless his heart. I got a new phone. I don't know how to answer it. I'll put it down there. Oh, well. Anyway, don't you love technology? Now, where were we? Mary's hope and Isaiah's hope were great because they heard God's voice and they obeyed God's will. Finally, number 3, I'm almost done. Hang on, okay? Number 3, they had hope because they trusted God's power. Each of them took one step at a time, one day at a time, and trusted God for the future. There's a verse in the Psalms that talks about this very beautifully and very completely. Psalm 119, verse 105. The psalmist says there, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, before you can know where you're going, you got to know where you're at. Pardon the dangling preposition. Okay? But the psalmist realizes God's word shows us exactly where we are right now. And it shows us where God wants us to be, and it lights the path in between. Your word is a lamp to my feet where I am right here, right now, and it's a light to my path where I'm going. Do you remember the name of Terry Anderson? Terry Anderson served as chief Middle East correspondent for the Associated Press. For 6 years and 9 months, he was held hostage in Lebanon. It was an incredibly difficult ordeal, but Terry came through it with amazing strength. Since his release, he's been interviewed many times, and his response is an inspiration for you and me in life, as so many things hold us hostage too. He was asked if what had enabled him to survive this awful experience, and he answered without hesitation, "My faith, my companions, and my stubbornness." Secondly, a reporter asked, "Terry, you said that you don't hate your captors. Can you help us to understand that?" Terry replied, "It's very simple. I'm a Christian. The scriptures teach us to forgive, and I don't hate anybody." Then he was asked, "Did you ever lose hope?" Terry said, "That's a hard question. Of course, I had some blue moments, some moments of despair. But fortunately, right after I became a hostage, one of the first things that fell into my hands was a Bible. Over the last 6 years as a captive, I've spent a lot of time with the Bible. And that helped me so much because it's about hope. It's about trust in God. And that's what gave me the strength to make it through each day." Then he said, "You do what you have to do. Faith helps you to do what you have to do. I spent a lot of time with the Bible, and it reminded me to do the best I could do each day and to trust God for the future." That's the kind of hope that Mary and Isaiah had. It's the kind of hope that you and I need today. I don't care where you are politically. I do care about where you are spiritually, but the good news is that God is there to give us hope, give us strength, and get us where we need to go. God will enable us to hear God's voice, to obey God's will, and to trust God's power. This morning, allow me as your pastor to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. I pray today that all of God's wonderful gifts might be yours. God's unconditional love and joy and peace, and a hope that'll take you through each moment. Each moment that we have left here, and then right through the gates of heaven and right into the arms of Jesus. I heard from someone this past week that had lost a loved one. And they said, Christmas was going to be a difficult time for me until I realized that my loved one is going to be celebrating Christmas with the reason for the season, Jesus. Isn't that exciting? It's beautiful and wonderful as Christmas is here with everything that goes on. I don't imagine it's anything compared to what it's going to be like in heaven. It's exciting. So, Merry Christmas 2016, and look forward to a Merry Christmas forever. Heavenly Father, this morning, as your children, we thank you for your wonderful gift and for all of your wonderful gifts to us.
We pray that you would help us that we might be a Christmas people every day of the year. Show us, Lord, how blessed it is to give. There's no way in the world that we can get more than by giving. Use us as a blessing to others as you have blessed us. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. That's what we'll do. Now, may the love and grace of God, the fellowship of Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you and abide with you. May you experience that joy of Christmas, and may you share it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.